need massive prayer. I had to spend the day, a day this week with Colt Bass and Dean Barrett. It was just about more than a man could take. And here's the problem. I thought, well, it'll be all right because Dean Barrett's going to be there. I found out Dean's just like Colt is. So there's really, that's a, just a thing. But we had a great time. I need to share with you several things. Almost have so much that I want to say that I don't know where to start. Because I feel compelled to say a little bit about the Friday night gatherings in Statesville and what we said there. Not all of it, but a little bit, because it fits the framework of where we are in Revelation. We just opened the first seal, talked about the Antichrist. That's what the first seal is. The rider of the white horse is the counterfeit Christ, the coming world leader. That's what the Antichrist is about. He's the coming world leader. Because of that, in when you get to Revelation 6, it begins to define the system of theology that you put things in concerning how you interpret the Scripture. I'm more of what's called a dispensationalist. Okay? But I kind of agree with John MacArthur. He made this statement the other day. I heard this. And I agree with him to this extent. He said he was a leaky dispensationalist. And that's about the way I would describe me. And the time I've been able to spend with our pastor, he's a leaky dispensationalist too. And when you get to know somebody and get to hear what they really believe, that's really a good thing. I'm a leaky dispensationalist in the fact that the classic traditional definition of dispensationalism doesn't really hold true. And here's why. The term dispensation has been misdefined. Paul the Apostle said that it was given unto him the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay? So the term dispensation has been misdefined and misunderstood. Most define it as being a period of time. In one sense of the word, it is a period of time, but it's a whole lot more than that. When I was in the military, if you needed something, you went to the dispensary, where they would dispense something. That's the root of what the word dispensation is. It means God was dispensing something. Here's where we get to the important principle that I keep repeating. And y'all wonder why I'm so repetitive. And one of these days, you'll remember what I've said and it'll come back to you. Listen, when God speaks a word, it is immediately operational and active all the way until it's fulfilled. Everybody say amen to that. Why? Because the word of God is eternal. In classic dispensationalism, they divide the scripture into basically seven periods of time. I hope I can remember them. The first one's the dispensation of innocence. The second one is the dispensation of conscience. Then there is the dispensation of human government. There's then the dispensation of promise, the dispensation of law, the dispensation of grace, and the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, I'm in agreement with that framework. I would add a dispensation and call it, I would stick it between the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the kingdom and call it the dispensation of tribulation. But nonetheless, I would agree with that framework of the dispensations. Herein lies the hole in dispensationalism. Most classic dispensationalists will say, this dispensation ends, this dispensation begins. That's not really accurate. All of the dispensations are still here. They layer truth upon truth. The reason is because when God speaks a word, it lives forever. Say amen to that.
Amen.
For example, the dispensation of innocence goes from the creation of man to the fall of man. During that time, hear this, Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. unhindered, unbroken relationship, unhindered, unbroken fellowship. Did you hear that? They were in a physical body. Yet, the dimensionality of God would break through the physical universe and they could walk with God. Y'all don't believe that actually happened. Do you believe that actually happened? Watch this. Adam and Eve did not need salvation. They were created perfect. Does that make sense? This past week, Haley was walking through the house and she said, "Oh, today is Adam's birthday." He would have been 34, I think. Yeah. I got to thinking about our sister. She was born between Joe and our older brother, Doug. And she died when she was 3 days old. I never got to see her. Guess where Adam's at and where Tammy's at? They're in heaven. Yet they were never saved. Prayed a sinner's prayer. They never invited Jesus into their heart. Why? Because they were covered in innocence. So you can't say that dispensation is gone. Please say amen to that. I'm looking back at Jennifer and that little girl sitting next to her. Can I tell you the dispensation of innocence is still reaching out to her? What about that? Yeah. The dispensation of conscience that goes from the fall of man to the Tower of Babel and then from the Tower of Babel through to Noah. Watch this. Can I tell you that Jesus said, "As in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man." The dispensation of law. How many of you are glad we're not under law? Amen. If we were, you'd be dead. There's not a person in here to be alive. Do you know that? We'd be stoned to death for breaking the authority of God's law. Can I tell you that the dispensation of law is still with us, especially here in America? You know why? Our judicial system is based on the very law of God. We're living in the dispensation of grace. Okay, watch this. I will preach longer if you don't start saying amen to something. We're living in grace. We're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all because of Jesus and the grace of God that we're saved. I'm thankful I'm living in grace. Yet can I tell you that grace didn't just begin with the Apostle Paul. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Think about the eternality of God's word when we're talking about these things, because what you have is layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of truth. And when truth was dispensed to the earth, God takes pieces of eternity and places it into time, and we call it His Word, His truth. Isn't that a marvelous thought? And get this, listen, even before He spoke the truth, He's so big because in the foreknowledge of God, He knew He would speak the truth. That truth was even active back before He spoke it. Now, wrap your brain around that right there. That's not a tongue twister, it's a brain twister, right? Amen. Here's what I was thinking about a lot of these things over the last few days, and here's what I've come to the conclusion of. I'm 60 years old, and I've studied God's Word since I was a kid. I've wandered away from it and rebelled against it at times, but I've studied it since I was a kid, and can I tell you my conclusion? The more I learn about the Word of God, the more I realize that I don't know nothing. There is so much that it overwhelms you to the point that you can't hardly bear under the revelation of it. Now, did you hear all the dispensations? We rattled off 7 of them, okay? Watch. Did you know there's different gospels, and they coincide with different dispensations? One is the gospel of the kingdom. That's the first gospel, actually, it was preached. A lot of the Old Testament prophets prophesied about the gospel of the kingdom. Then come John the Baptist, and he said this, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then Jesus came along, guess what he preached? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The gospel of the kingdom was associated with miracles, power, signs, and wonders because the Jews require a sign. Did y'all hear that? Now watch this. We're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. Because that gospel changed. As a matter of fact, and we've talked about this on Friday nights, on the day of Pentecost when they was keeping the Jewish feast, get out of your mind. Everybody says this, and they was gathered together, people out of every nation. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said there was Jews that was gathered out of every nation. They were the ones keeping Pentecost. Gentiles wasn't keeping Pentecost. Jews were keeping Pentecost. Say amen to that. Amen. And so here come the Holy Spirit, and something happened that we talked about last week that I got to remind you of. It dates all the way back to Genesis 11 and Nimrod. Y'all remember that dude? Nimrod. You know who he was? First world dictator. First world ruler. He came for the strategy of Satan to rule the earth. He was a physical form, a man. And he was a world dictator. And everybody spoke the same language, and he said, "Let's build a city that will rival and rebel against God." And God saw it, and he said, "You know what? They're on the same page. I'm going to go down there and confound their language so they won't understand one another." And he confounded their language in Genesis 11 and scattered everybody abroad all over the earth. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and gave a spiritual language so that we wouldn't have to misunderstand one another anymore in the body of Christ. There's a big teaching. We don't have time to get into all of that. And you're thankful that I ain't, some of you, because some of you are sweating bullets right now. I know you are. But just hear me out totally here. The Antichrist, Revelation 6 and the first seal, goes all the way back to Genesis 10 and the introduction of that man named Nimrod. Here's the interesting thing about that. And today we're going to just introduce the second seal. All right? So it's Revelation chapter 6. Turn there. We'll read it, actually. Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4. Gives us the second seal. We're going to start there. And there's some interesting things that say it. Now keep in mind everything we've just said, all right? The gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God, the dispensations, the man called Nimrod, all the way back to Genesis 10, you have that foreshadowing of the person of the Antichrist. Do y'all know that the Antichrist is a real person? Flesh and blood, like you and I. Okay? And he's called the rider of the white horse. So there is absolutely no need to think that the rider of the rest of the horses are in spirit form. They're not. They're real people. And here's what it says in Revelation 6, verse 3. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red." Now I've got to point something out. Everybody say, "I'm listening." You go back to the first seal, and here's what the beast says to John in verse 1. He says, "Come and see." Verse 2, John says, "And I saw." That "and I saw" is missing in the second seal. You see that? Pay attention to the details of the Word of God. That's why you've got to look at the details of God's Word to fully grab the meaning, because that John didn't say when the beast said in the second seal, "Come and see." John didn't say, "I saw." He just said, "There was a red horse. And a rider sat on the red horse." That is an indication that there could be a lapse of time or a simultaneous release of the first and second seal. It's an issue around time, not necessarily an issue around sight. So in the second seal, it says in another horse that was red, power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Here's why that these things are so relevant to us today. Now everybody say again, I'm listening. There was a gentleman down in Florida that we got to talk to. He shared this story with Alan. Can't call his name now. He shared this story with Alan. I was sitting there, and Alan was telling me about it. He said a couple of friends of his was missionaries, and they went to overseas to another country, and they led a whole Muslim family to Christ. Grab a hold of that one. Led a whole Muslim family to Christ. Well, in turn, they went out, and the children led a couple of their friends to Christ. Two boys they led to Christ that were Muslim. The problem was, is their dad found out that his two sons got saved. They buried them up to their neck and then stoned them to death. Did y'all hear that? Yeah. Tell me you heard it. They buried them up to their neck and stoned them to death. The conversation then pursued this way. It is absolutely incomprehensible to me how that our problems so beset us and turn us aside when things like that's happening. Does it not bring into perspective our problems when you hear a story like that? And it makes me wonder how many people here would give their life for the faith and for the Son of God, for the cause of Christ. Now, as it's relevant to what we just read to you in the second seal, here's what you need to understand. I believe there's been a grave misunderstanding of the tribulation period. Most people will tell you the first 3.5 years, the tribulation period, is a time of relative peace. And while there is some truth about that, it is not altogether true. When the second seal is released, peace is taken from the earth. It coincides with what Jesus taught us in Matthew 24, that nation would rise against nation. But it's deeper than that. This goes deeper than just nationally speaking. It goes individually speaking. It is a corruption of all that is law, and the societies of the world become lawless. In that, we will shed each other's blood in society. It is under the rulership of this person of the Antichrist that this physical person in the second seal that I believe is his military leader, his military general, who is just as full of Satan as the Antichrist is, removes laws from the land and peace disappears. No longer will the world be able to live at peace one with another. No longer will nations be able to live at peace one with another. Under the rule of darkness, there can be no peace. Peace is taken from the earth. Ken called me yesterday and we were talking about this issue of peace and the subject of peace. Hear me when I say this to you. The thing that every walking, breathing person on the earth is looking for is peace. Did you know that's what you're after? Peace. Sometimes we'll define it as joy. Sometimes we'll define it as happiness. Sometimes we'll define it as satisfaction. Sometimes we'll define it as gratification. Sometimes we'll define it as comfort. But I'm telling you that everything that the world is after is peace. You look for peace in your soul. You look for peace in your spirit. You want peace in your physical body. You want peace at work. You seek for peace with one another. What the entire world is clamoring for is peace. I was telling Ken, every time I talk about peace, I have to go to this place. And this is very important. It's significant. Listen to this. Jesus prayed the prayer in John 17. My peace I give unto you. How many of y'all are saved? You know how you got saved? By trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Do you know how you get peace? The same way you got saved. Peace cannot be taught. Peace cannot be learned. Peace is not something you will find by engaging your will to an activity in which you will obtain peace. Peace must be received by faith. It is a gift from God. You cannot teach a gift. You can only receive a gift. Now, what is it then that happens as a result? Now, we'll get back to the second seal, but understand the framework is peace is taken from the earth. You with me so far? So here's what people do in order to try to manufacture peace. They try to work for it. How many of you have ever heard of the phrase performance orientation? That's right. That's right. Can I tell you, most people fall under that trap of performance orientation. I'm going to give you two sides of that coin. Listen to me. God is not waiting on you to jump so high before He blesses you. You could have had revival right there in your life if you'd have just heard me with you. I pray the Holy Spirit will open up ears, and he that hath ears to hear will hear what I'm saying right now. God is not waiting on you to cross every T and dot every I just right before he opens up the heavens and blesses you. Amen. He blesses you because you are his child. He blesses you because there was one simple truth that grabbed a hold of your heart. And that truth was you were lost without God, and you cried out to him and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and come into my heart and life. At that very moment, you became his child. And as a result of that, God eagerly can get paid. But in God's economy, it's completely different. You just be and he rewards you. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen to that. You can't get excited about that. On the basis that you are his child, he has given you unfettered access into the Holy of Holies, where you can find peace and grace and mercy in his storehouse. And we're not going there. Somehow or another, we want to go out and work for God and build something so we can say, hey, God, look over here what I've done. That is not in God's economy. Listen to this. You're not impressing God by your good works. They're filthy rags. God don't love Joe Barrett because Joe Barrett can preach. God loves Joe Barrett because Joe Barrett is God's son. God don't love Haley because she can sing. God loves Haley because Haley is God's daughter. And she says she's awesome. I'm just saying. Now, we knew that was coming, did we not? We can't work our way into the divine favor of God. But we can receive the divine favor of God based on who Jesus is.
Amen.
Y'all with me? Now that's just one side of the coin. Okay? Because I'm going to give you the other side. Here's the other side of the coin. God blesses obedience. He does not bless disobedience. Hello. See, I couldn't even get you to say amen on the good part. There is no place from here out for you to say amen. I'm telling you. Watch, watch. Do you remember the loopholes in the dispensations? Going all the way back to the original one, dispensation of innocence, it's still here. Let me tell you some things that we can learn about the nature and character of God all the way through the Old Testament, even into the New Testament. God blesses obedience. He does not bless disobedience. Bad seed sown will come up. Did y'all hear that? Okay, now hear this. Everybody thinks that all sin is sin, it's all the same. No, it's not. It's not all the same. I can prove that it's not all the same. It always has different consequences. And if it has different consequences, all sin is not the same. It's like that big myth that everybody's going to be equal in heaven. It's a myth. It's not true. Okay, so all sin is not the same. Did you know there is a difference between sins of weakness and sins of rebellion? Rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft. It finds its root in the very first rebellion of Lucifer, who rebelled against the throne of God. Sins of flesh nature are far different than sins of rebellion. The consequences are very different. You with me so far? Okay, can I tell you this? Listen to me. We always get riled up when someone commits an act of sin. When the act of sin has been done, the sin was already committed. The act is just the byproduct of the sin that was in the heart. Hello? But because we're so performance-orientated, we attach all of the importance on the action. That's what Jesus was trying to tell people when he said this. The law says thou shalt not commit adultery. I say if you look upon a woman and lust after in your heart, you've committed adultery already. Is that not what Jesus said? I didn't make that up. It's in the book. Okay? He also said this, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer already. Sin is in the heart of man. The action is just the manifestation of what's already in the heart. Jesus is cleansing the heart. It's the heart that's got to be right with God and reconciled to God. It's the heart where you'll find peace, not in some action. If you don't find that kind of peace, you will be vulnerable to peace being taken from the earth. You leave yourself vulnerable to the manifestation of rebellion instead of struggling with weakness. Dear Lord, there's so much I want to say already, and I'm going to get shot for this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay? Everybody say, I'm ready. Do not hold what I'm about to say to our pastor's charge. Okay? Don't do that. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. If you overemphasize the action, you'll never get to the heart.
No, you're right.
Did you hear me? Don't overemphasize what looks like sin. If you do, you'll be in a trap of criticism and judgmentalism, and that leads to manipulation and control. See, watch. Jesus said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Why? Because you couldn't. I've said this 1,000 times. We know it's true. We have the written record to prove it, but we live as though it ain't true. And here's the real deal. Are y'all ready for this? There's not a sin that's ever been committed that you're not already guilty of. Yet we'll judge those that commit the acts when we're guilty of the same thing in our hearts. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't ever say, boy, I'll tell you there's one thing I'll never do. Uh-oh. You might as well have put a bullseye on yourself to let that part of your flesh man come out. I got a call this week. Honestly, I got a call this week. And I so could relate. Oh, could I relate? Because I've went through this same process. The voice on the other end was broken, weeping, crying. And he said, hey, God has been showing me, and I didn't know I was like this. I mean, broken, crying, weeping. And he said, I didn't realize. I didn't know that this mess was in me. He said, God's been showing me, and I didn't know it was there. I said, boy, I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what, and can I tell you what you're like? The filthiest, lowest, vilest sinner there is. You need to be thankful that it's not based on your works to get to the favor and peace of God. Jesus did it for you. So stop this mess of I'm unworthy. You're ever been as worthy as Jesus is. That's how God looks at you. You're too filthy for God to look at you as you are. He covers you with His Son, Jesus, and the blood of Christ. And He looks at you through the blood of Christ as a finished work already completed. And gives you the favor that only Jesus could enjoy. Praise God. That's good stuff, whether you say amen or not, right there. Okay, now watch this. Here's the deal with it. I'm done. I'm finishing. I ain't done, but I'm finishing. Listen to me closely. What's keeping us from the peace of God is our own disobedience. That comes out of flesh, man. I'm praying that out here there's not struggles with rebellion, which is on a different level. Rebellion is when you know that God is dealing with you about something and dealing with you about something, and you don't respond, and you don't respond, and that weakness turns into rebellion. Do you hear me? We're going to get painfully honest for just a second here. Have you ever been convicted of a sin and confessed it and begged God to deliver you from it, and you felt that warmth of His presence, that forgiveness, only to fall again to the same thing a month later? I'm the only one. There's nobody else out there like that. Then you'll judge yourself over and over again. How could this happen? How could I get there again? That's not rebellion. That's weakness. That's weakness. It's a struggle of the flesh. That's why Paul said, the good things I want to do, I don't do. So I have to die daily. Some of you people out there are in a deep struggle in your own mind. You've convinced yourself of several things. Number one, you've convinced yourself that you can't learn the Word of God. So you know what happens? You stay away from it. Some of you have convinced yourself that God don't hear you when you pray. You got to get somebody else to do it for you. Some of you have reconciled your own self to live in the filth of your own flesh because you think there's no way out. See, here's the thing that I'm seeing. Here's what I'm seeing. Come on up here, Markel. Here's what I'm seeing. Watch. I'm seeing a bunch of people that's right there on the verge of becoming treasures in the kingdom and powerhouses for the glory of God. If you could only flip the switch and say yes to the Lord and no to yourself. You can walk out of here clean as a whistle this morning. Free from every struggle. Oh, I wished I had time to do this. What blocks peace is fear, doubt, questions, unbelief. That's what so many are struggling with. You don't have to struggle with that today. Watch it. In this moment, I'm talking about this moment of time, you can say yes to Jesus and walk completely free of fear, question, doubt, unbelief, in full reliance and trust on God as your supply. You can do that if you choose to. See? Now watch this. Here's the problem. I just gave you that offer. So that truth is out there in your spirit. And if you refuse it, that refusal can turn into rebellion. Now you got a deeper problem, flesh. You got a demonic stronghold in your mind that has to be brought down. And that will develop imaginations. Oh, how Satan plays with that. Oh, if I just had a different job. Oh, if I was just married to a different person. Oh, if I just had different friends. All these imaginations. And Satan says, watch this, I'll reel them in. Just like fishing, I'll reel them in. He sets the hook. And he reels you in based on your own weakness, and it turns to rebellion. Did you know that the same Spirit of God that's in me is in you? Did I tell you that the more I've learned, the littler I know? Did I tell you that part? Can I tell you this? If God can do a work of grace in me, you ain't no problem.
Amen.
So my question is this, what will you do with that? Peace is being taken away from you. Do you want to receive peace? You want to walk in peace? Coming down here today, I was thinking this thought. My body is the prison. It's serving as a prison for my spirit. It's not going to be long till this body is going to lay down and spirit man is going to be set free. I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to be like Jesus, and I'm going to see as he is. But until that day comes, I want less and less of me and more of him. And in that, I can walk in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on him. Did you hear that? So let's bow for prayer this morning. If God spoke to your heart in any way, I know I rambled today a lot, but if God spoke to your heart in any way, hold your hand up and say, boy, the Lord spoke to me about something. There you go. Everybody, Just hold your hand up if God dealt with you. Okay, now listen to this. Some of you are burdened, broken. Some of you are struggling with yourself. I'm asking you to lay yourself down. I want you to lay yourself down and pick up Christ. So if God dealt with you, I'm honestly going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. If you're in some type of struggle, you just want free. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's questions. Maybe there's doubt. Maybe there's lack of surrender. Maybe there's something that the Holy Spirit just revealed to you, and you need to lay it down. Just stand right where you are. Join them. There you go. Look at that. Boy, precious Lord in your sight. Precious in your sight, Lord Jesus. Do you know that there's a lot of people that feel so unworthy they can't step in? Some of you that are convinced that you can't learn the Word of God. Some of you that are convinced that the struggle you're in is too deep and you'll never get out of it. I'm telling you today, by a simple act of faith, you can be free right now. So if you would, just lift your hands to the Lord for a second. Father, in Jesus' name, all these that are standing, that's in this struggle, I pray, God, you'll give them the courage to lay it down. You say to bring your burden, care, cast them upon you because you care for us. I'm asking for a higher level of commitment. And whatever that looks like, I'm praying, Lord, that you'll release truth that has been eternally spoken in time past and time yet future. Bottle it up and release it as a combustible explosion in our spirit. Fill us to overflow. We don't just need life, we need abundant life. And we're crying out to you, Lord, because in this day where peace is being taken from the earth, we know that you are the only source of peace. Listen, you're hearing me say these words, but if by faith you'll agree with them, it'll become a living reality in your life. I believe that. Lord, in this environment of your house, we can find strength to do all these things. God, I'm praying it'll go outside of this place and invade people's homes, their workplace. Give them courage to walk with you. Now watch this. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. I'm going to ask you right now to receive, just like you did when you got saved. I want you to say, Lord, I receive your peace. And I pray, oh God, that that peace will become a living reality in all of those that spoke it out. And I pray it'll pass all understanding. That is the spiritual language of unity. Dear God, in Jesus' name we thank you for these things. Amen.